American Rock Radio
50.
And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
American Rock Radio.
Thoughts again. Bringing you a passage of scripture from James chapter 5 and 1 Kings chapter 19. James chapter 5 and then 1 Kings 19. James 5 verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I've read this scripture numbers and numbers of times, and it wasn't probably until today that something just awakened from this passage of scripture that I had failed really to grasp. Scripture said Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And then it goes on and tells two of his neat, nifty things that he did. And if you're not careful, you will connect the like passions with those two marvelous deeds. And that's not the picture. I've looked at this and I've prayed many, many years. God, you said Elijah had like passions like me, and he could shut up heaven and he could pull down heaven's fire. That's what I want. But there's more to the thing about like passions. Going to 1 Kings 19, now we're going to look at the other part of like passion. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. A man of like passions. I want to talk to you tonight on the dark days of your soul. The dark days of your soul. Lord, bless the teaching of the Word of God, that it speak to our hearts and meet the needs according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I'm quite sure that none of us are strangers to the feelings of despair and hopelessness and the temptation to just give up, or to cry out lamentingly, what's the use? I learned something from putting this lesson together. There are only two classes of people in the world. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. There are only two classes of people in the world, not just saved and lost. That goes without saying. It's the overwhelmed and the overcomer. You will either be overwhelmed or you will overcome. I want to show you a powerful, powerful scripture. David cried out, a man after God's own heart, in Psalms 55, verse 4, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and the horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. In Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3, he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. When I am overwhelmed, give me some direction, please. When my emotions are crushing me, come to my rescue." I didn't say I'm backslid or I'm a dirty dog. I just said I'm overwhelmed. And I'm destined to be an overcomer. So during the time when I'm overwhelmed, give me some direction so I can overcome. Don't let me be overwhelmed by evil, but let me overcome that thing that is pressing me down. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Help me. Help me. You know what I'm talking about? Dark times of the soul. Dark times of your emotions. Let's go a little further. Psalms 142 and 3. Oh, praise God. Psalms 142 and 3. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." I couldn't find you, but you knew where I was. "In the way wherein I have, in the way in I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on the right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison." What prison? Despair. Discouragement. I'm being overwhelmed. I'm somehow strapped to the ground and it's high tide. And there's nobody else to help me. Please help me. My, 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 my. Psalms 143 and verse 3. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, and those that have been long as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." Listen very carefully what he's saying. The problems that I'm having are not just exterior, but what is happening on the exterior is hurting the interior. All the overwhelming is happening within me. Nothing outside of me can conquer me unless I allow that to get within me. But he's saying those things that are happening around me are beginning to seep into my soul, and it's beginning to get dark inside of me, and I'm beginning to feel hopeless, and I'm feeling like I'm all alone. So before he drowns, he says, "Help! For I'm overwhelmed within me." I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Stretch forth thy hands on. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Oh, praise God. Did not come here to blast anybody out of the saddle. Came to bear my soul to you tonight. The dictionary says to overwhelm means to swallow up. Now notice carefully what it means. It means to swallow up or to crush down. It means to bear down upon. To overcome means to conquer, to vanquish, to get the better of, to be victorious. All of us have felt the cold darkness that reaches for us, that cries out to us, that suggests to us, that makes us feel, well, might as well give up, drop out, and quit. Everybody knows the terrible, lonely feeling of the darkness of despair. That's why sometimes missionaries return from just one tour on the field and do not go back. It's not that they're not good missionaries. They've been overwhelmed. They're lonely. That's why preachers lose their vision and their faith wanes. And sometimes, unfortunately, we preachers give up the high standard we one time set for ourselves when faith had big biceps. Because sometimes things seep into our souls and we just feel overwhelmed. And we just kind of feel, what in the name of God's the use? I'm beating my dumb head against the wall for what? And that's why even Christians who occupy pews all across this land, who once contributed to the work of God, had really believed and worked for the Lord, now just attend. Just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I feel like I've heard from the Lord. Overwhelmed. What's the use? I've done the best I could. I've tried to keep my life clean. I've tried to contribute. I've not tried to cause any division or trouble. I've tried to do the best I could. And it's just like I'm an absolute fool. I'm just not appreciated. Nobody's listening to me. I'm having trouble with people. I need to go get a job and just be a good saint somewhere. Consider what I'm going to tell you. The greatest men of God that ever walked across the pages of this Bible have suffered from like passions and days that are dark to the soul. I read to you the man after God's own heart, David, who said, oh, if I could get me the wings of a dove, I'd blow this joint. He was not tired of God. He was tired of the things that go with the work of God. And I will not believe, not a one of you in this auditorium is tired of the Holy Ghost, tired of the goodness of God, tired of the grace of God. But it's all the things that are attached to be able to walk in that dimension that wear you down and drain you and pull the plug on your battery. I want you to read for me Jeremiah 9 and 2. Would you please, Brother Grace?
Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place.
Listen to this. This is a preacher. Come on, I'm going to give you what you want. You're going to get a free shot at the preacher tonight. He's on trial. You're going to get a shot at him. I'm going to preach about preachers. Me. I'll just stand here. You give me your best shot. Preachers. Here's a preacher who said what?
Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men.
Yes.
That I might leave my people.
Whoop. Not God. I don't ever want to leave God. But I'd like to get away from God's people. How could a man want to be away from God's people? Work with them a while. Don't you sometimes want to get away from your kids? Don't you love your children? Sure you do. You also love your sanity. You that enjoy the work that you do, do you not once in a while like a weekend? I have not seen any or heard of any of you giving back your vacation time. Oh, please don't make me take my vacation. Let me come here. What's the matter? Don't you like your job? Of course you do. But there are pressures and emotions and overwhelming things that come with your job that sometimes you just need to get away. It's not that you don't love it or appreciate it or enjoy it. It's just that everything that you do takes its toll. And there is nothing that takes a greater toll on anybody than the ministry. And I know that preachers are to be superhuman beings with no emotion, no flaw, no dent in their armor, no feet of clay, never say anything unkind, never give a bad look. That's what we pay you for. Read, Philip.
That I may leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men.
That's people of God.
And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies.
That's the people of God.
But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth.
That's the people of God.
For they proceed from evil to evil.
That's the people of God.
And they know not me, saith the Lord.
Ooh, that's the people of God.
Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders.
That's enough. That ain't pastoring that church. Listen to another preacher, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 3, chapter 4 and verse 3. Take my life from me, O Lord, it is enough. Sound like preacher burnout to me. Wonder where they got burned out. Must be the work. It wasn't the devil. He ain't got the power to burn a Christian out. It ain't sin, because we don't let sin operate in our lives. It just must be the things that accompany trying to be a godly person and working with people who are trying also to grow in God. I didn't think I'd get very much. I want to read another scripture to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, the great apostle of the Gentiles, said, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Not you, Paul. What do you think we pay you for? You're not supposed to get pressed out of measure, Paul. Pray through. Little midget brain. We were pressed out of measure, above strength. Well, listen, Paul, the reason why you ain't got no strength is because you just don't pray enough. Now listen, if you pray, we don't want a preacher in the pulpit ain't got no strength. That's what we pay you for. Insomuch that we despaired even of life itself. Oh my God, we got a preacher that's suicidal. He's going to lead us to the promised land. He's trying to go by the way of the grave. We got to have an election. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us, past, present, future. Has delivered us, is delivering us, and will deliver us. Notice again another scripture. Chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. I'm trying to tell you tonight that it's not wrong for you to experience these emotions and feelings. The scripture says Elijah was a man of like passions. What kind of passions? Discouragement. You can be discouraged and still be great for God, just as long as you're not overwhelmed by it. Elijah is my favorite man in this book. He is what the Bible calls the man of fire, prophet of fire. He is so full of conviction, he embarrasses me. He's got such an anointing of power that I'm a midget in his presence. He's rugged. He has great victories in his life. He is totally obedient to God. Everything he does, he said, I've done at your voice and at your word and at your bidding. He is full of the fear of God. I don't know of another prophet in this Bible who is as full of faith, absolute raw faith, as Elijah. He has been able to call for a 3.5-year drought. He is able to bring fire from heaven and able to end that drought with one prayer meeting. Yet, he too finds a time in his life when it's the dark shadow of his soul. I read this scripture to you, and the scripture says that after he had killed the 850 false prophets and called the fire down, called the rain down, and outrun Ahab's chariot. Consider what I'm trying to say. When did this great despondency and discouragement come? It came at the time of the greatest victory he ever had in his life. Now, how can that be? How can a man be full of victory and by the time he walks from the platform to the office, a baptism of discouragement and despair can shroud his mind? How is it that we can come out of a Sunday night service talking in tongues like a Chinese laundry, banging into walls, everybody juking around, people getting the Holy Ghost, people getting healed, and before the sun rises, you'd give your last dollar to feel an ounce of the Holy Ghost? This poor situation happened during the time of the most glorious opportunity in his ministry. It was the most glorious opportunity he ever had. For God had used him to turn the whole nation of Israel back. He was at the threshold of a national revival. And he missed it. Never to get it again. Because they had turned around and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. He had him in his hand. Finally, after all the apostasy, he had him in his hand. And he got discouraged. You need to be very careful when you whisper you don't need leadership. You need to be very, very careful when you say, well, I'm as smart as you are. You are probably smarter than me. God's preachers don't need to be smart. The fire had fallen, the false had been slain, Israel had been turned back to God. Rain had come, the drought was over, physical and spiritual. In the hour of his greatest victory, revival was at the threshold. The preacher feels defeated. Why? I'd like to include you in this, if you don't mind. In the threshold of revival, in the promises of God getting ready to be fulfilled for us, in a growth that God has given us, why, right now, do so many of us in this church right now feel defeated and discouraged and full of despair? Why? First, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I personally believe that one of the reasons that brought this feeling to Elijah was the sense of his own failure personally. That although this great miraculous display of God's power had taken place and the drought was over, yet there is something inside a preacher that is disgusted with himself. That even people who can say, boy, that was a great sermon, it comes off like water going off a duck's back, because there's something inside a man's heart that was reaching for something else and it never rang the bell. And so he smiles and says, thank you. And all the while he's going, phew. And while you preach things to people They are not alive in yourself. And the truths that you declare to people are not operative in yourself. And you yearn so deeply and desperately for them to be a reality in your life, and they're not. And so while the response is great and the God of glory comes down, in yourself, there's something that says, you're so shallow, you're so fake, you're so make-believe, you're a professional. All of Israel is praising God. All of Israel has Elijah on their lips. But Elijah is discouraged. Point number two. I think one of the reasons why he felt so much despair and so much darkness in his soul was because he expected so much more. He expected Ahab's kingdom to topple with a demonstration of God. His concept, he thought for sure, when this happens, this will fall and revival will sweep. But this happened and a few bowed the knee. And Jezebel said, let's fight. And it devastated him. And I taught the Bible study to her. And I taught the Bible study to him. And I reached out and I picked them up and I called them and I encouraged them. And the power of God touched their little baby and they quit. It's like the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. We thought. They're talking to a resurrected Lord. It doesn't matter. We thought. We thought he was the one that would restore Israel to its zenith. And this would all happen. And boy, everything would take place. And now he's been killed. Man, we're going fishing. Jezebel is unimpressed. She's still impudent as ever. The miraculous did not move her. The truth did not convince her nor Ahab. I guess sometimes there's just never enough evidences. Sometimes people look at preachers and say, aren't you ever happy? Is the world still lost? Somebody say amen. Thank you. I'm just teaching a lesson. I'm not chewing anybody out. I think there's another reason why he had a dark time in his soul. It was because he felt the loneliness of trying to be a spiritual man. When he stood before the cave of the Lord. I've never been in the cave of the Lord, but I have been before the Lord. And I have said these words. I have left. And nobody believes like me. Are you right, Brother Arnold? No, I'm probably wrong. Just feel that way. He was lonely. Do you know what a demon loneliness is? That can pour into your soul even in the day when there's sunshine and so fill you with the chill of death that you just say, what's the use? He said, I only am left and they seek my life. I wonder how lonely he really was that he had nobody to be with. Nobody. Nobody to share his heart with. Nobody to just sit down and talk scripture with. Nobody to just even laugh with and just share his feelings with. He has nobody. I read in a book one time that a writer said that loneliness is the penalty of true greatness. Well, I don't know about that because I'm lonely a lot and I'm a long way from true greatness. There didn't seem to be anybody on his level. Nobody that he could share his heart with, his burden with. He was just lonely. Walk in a place and preach to 1,500 people, go back to a motel room lonely. 25 people got the Holy Ghost, 3 people come out of wheelchairs, 1 deaf lady got healed. I go back to my room, cry for a couple hours and pray. I missed it. Everybody's rejoicing. Let me tell you something, folks. The Pentecostal movement is being cursed today with hyper faith. We've picked it up from charismatic playboys. It's the wrong kind of faith. Hyper faith is faith that reacts just to emotion, to a little bit of screaming and what have you. That'll get a few miracles, but that's not the kind of faith God wants us to have. We need to have word faith. Just to release our faith instead of just in a great big criteria. The criteria is a big sweep of emotion. The choir sings and everybody goes jubilee and then they just juke around for an hour or two. And that's hyper faith. It's almost mob violence faith. God doesn't want that out of our people. We just need regular old-fashioned good old Bible faith. God said it, and so I believe it. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get my miracle. Things are going to happen. Because if you live in hyper faith, you have to always live in this fast lane. It's always got to be smoking. I'm telling you the truth. Let me try it again. There's only 2 classes of people, overwhelmed or overcome. And you're going to find out in a few minutes where you are. There's another reason why I think that Elijah was suffering from the dark times of his life, the shadows of sitting under a juniper tree. Is that he was suffering from the weariness of the work. Emotional stress. He had stood alone against a nation. Have you any idea the pressure on a man that stands against a nation? Have you any idea what literally takes place in the spirit realm when a man stands up and says, "You're all liars"? And nobody reacts and nobody shoots him. But the minute you go on record, things happen in the spirit realm. And forces are released. And powers are released. And manipulative things take place among humans. You know what it is to stand among your brethren and say, "Brethren, that's not right. That's ungodly. That's not scripture. You cannot do that." Talked to a man the other night on the phone about a situation that involves this church. And while I talked to him and I realized I was striking out, I said, "My brother, what you're saying is not right. It's ungodly, and you ought to be ashamed for even saying stuff like that." And he said to me, "Well, you just don't know how the game works." I said, "Listen to me, fatso. This ain't a game. And you politicians, God is going to strip you naked before this thing's over. He is going to embarrass you in front of the whole movement. And if God doesn't strip you naked, He's going to pull us out of this mess and give a revival. Because you people are not telling the truth." This man said to me, "Brother Arnold, you're just built for confrontation. You'd rather fight than get along." I said, "No, I'd just rather be right than get along." He said, "Well, you just can't talk to people like you talk to them without them getting mad." I said, "I don't mind getting mad. They get glad after they get mad. I'm not worried about people getting mad. What I want is for people to get mad and then get right." He says, "Well, if you continue the posture that you are continuing, I'm sorry, but you are going to be on the outside looking in. It is not going to work." People, I said, "You mean like John the Baptist?" I said, "John the Baptist withstood Herod." He said, "Yeah, but they took John's head off." I said, "Yes, but the message is greater than the man. Herod died eating of worms. revival came to the church. I said, you've got to stop doing this stuff. You're not being honest. We talked and talked. I said, my friend, when I was in the world and I went to jail and I was a drunk and I was a cane raiser and I packed a gun and I got my brains beat in and that's the way I live. I said, you know what you guys are doing? You pack Bibles. I packed a gun. You pack Bibles. And you use the Bible to hide behind. And you're as dishonest as this bum they just put in jail. He said, well, have a nice day. Click. I said, okay. Weariness in the work. Emotional stress. Consider what I'm telling you. The stress that Elijah was under was the fact that the whole nation was blaming him for the drought. If you hadn't tried to be so dumb spiritual and so narrow-minded, we'd still have water. Why didn't you just appeal to this thing judicially through the board? Why did you just come in and say, this is wrong, shut it down? You think I'm kidding you? The whole nation hated him. Oh boy. You know, I've heard sometimes people say, how much debt I've put you in. How much debt I'm trying to put you in with this egomaniac stuff of trying to build a church out here. Weary with the work. Weary once in a while to hear how much money Brother Arnold makes us give away. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Oh, that I had a motel somewhere in the wilderness. Think what I'm telling you. Because every one of you, before you die, will find your place under a juniper tree for one of these reasons or all of them. For it's not just a preacher who's under emotional stress. Every precious saint of God is under emotional stress, physical stress, financial stress. There are times when you get blamed for things that you're not guilty of. There are times when your actions are judged and your motives are not even known. There's another reason he had problems while he was sitting under the juniper tree. He was tired. I realized that wasn't a spiritual point, was it? Let me tell you something. If you're too pooped to participate, it's kind of tough to be spiritual. You work all day and all night, you ain't got 4 hours of sleep, you just ain't going to be at your best. There are times when you're under a lot of strain, you've got a headache, your kidney doesn't work right, your stomach's not working right, you got heartburn, rheumatism, arthritis. There's times when you've had trouble with the kids and trouble with the job. There's some of you that suffer from physical ailments. Some days you don't feel as well as other days. You're not any less a Christian then, but you're very susceptible at that time to go into a dark time of the soul. The man's just tired. Notice the devil did not come to Jesus Christ until after the 40-day fast in the wilderness. Well, you're weary, and you're wore out, and you're exhausted, and you're alone. Then he comes. Thank God for the strengthening angel. Scripture said when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, ready to pay our debt, there was an angel that came and strengthened him. Do you know that angel is still alive today in 1990? Do you know that when you weep and sob and pray and agonize and try to carry a load for yourself or the work of God, that that angel can be dispatched to you and he can put his powerful hand on your heart and your mind and your body and he can strengthen you? I'm firmly convinced that that angel that came to Jesus first came to Elijah. For he came under the juniper tree and strengthened him. I believe he's the angel that came to Paul. That on the shipwreck, potential shipwreck, he strengthened Paul with words of encouragement. I think I've met that angel a few times. I don't think I've ever seen him, but I've just kind of met him in the spirit. There's been times when he just all of a sudden out of clear blue brought a song to me. Brought a face of some saint. Brought a feeling in my heart. Somebody's praying for me. Brought a scripture to my soul. And all of a sudden it was so real that my hair stood up and I said, "Woo!" And I thought it was just the Holy Ghost. No, I think it was that strengthening angel that was sent down into the economy that I was that just kind of put his hand on me and get things going so I could move. Why? Because God has destined me not to be overwhelmed, but to be an overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's tired. He's weary. Things have not gone like he had hoped. And so what do? Here's what we do. I'll quit the Sunday school class. I'm tired. Whatever happened to duty? I told Brother Grace the other day, I'd like to tell you, inspiration is the worst octane to run your motor on. It costs too much to keep filling up high octane. You ought to just fill it up with a good dose of duty. Amen. I told him, I said, I think I need to come to this pulpit one of these days. Instead of trying to inspire you, I need to obligate you. I found out after almost 9 years of preaching to you fine folks, the more I inspire you, the more I got to inspire you. Well, he hit it 380 feet last week. Let's see what old Arnie does Sunday. My God, he hit one 4.25. Woo! Well, I hope he does something next Sunday. 510 feet. Woo! I'm going to bring my friends, not for them to get saved. I just want them to hear them. It's so neat when you bring them and I go, bunt. Pop fly. One of my worm sermons. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm lonely. I'm discouraged. I'm disappointed with myself. I'm not disappointed with you. I'm disappointed with myself. I'm disgusted with myself. I ought to be a better preacher. I ought to pray better than I pray. I ought to know God better than I know God. It is not you that I'm weary with, and I don't believe Elijah is really weary with Israel. They're just ignorant people trying, and they're just kind of little mental midgets. I think he's just disgusted with himself. He's just weary with himself. He doesn't know what else to do, so he decides to just get away from it all. And so what do? Well, we just quit the Sunday school class. I don't know what I'll do. I don't need all this hell up here. I'll just quit the choir. Right? I can sing out in the pew. In fact, I'm not going to play music no more. It's a pain in the neck. It takes my time. And I got other things to do. And, you know, why, I'm not going to teach Bible studies. Now, I've tried that and it hasn't worked. And people keep canceling my classes and I study and they don't show up. And dog bit me last time. And I'm just not going to bother. And no, I was going to do visitation, but you know, that's like kind of inconvenient. I'm not much for that. I I'm just going to be a good old saint, sit my fat rear end on down and just go to heaven. That's what I'm going to do, bless God. I'm going to pay my 10% and I'm going to give a buck every now and then, and bless God, I'm going to wait for the chariot. That's a great attitude to help your leadership spend a lot of days under the juniper tree. I wonder how many times I've said in my life, I won't keep you late, I promise. I'll be out before 9. I'm going to relax. My ministry is over. I cannot take this church. I cannot take this church any further than I've taken. They will not listen to me. I can't do it. I can't. I'm not the man. Well, let me bring the good part to you. We'll go home. First off, God knew where he was. I like that. And he knew the condition he was in. He sent an angel to find him under a juniper tree. And the angel touched him. And then he told him to rise and eat. And he prepared some meal for him. And then he put him back to sleep. I appreciate the fact that the Lord, instead of damning and condemning, encouraged him. May I say this to you, sir, ma'am? When someone is discouraged, the one thing they don't need is a critic. They need a refuge. What they don't need is 40 questions on what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? They just need an angel to come and help them. You know, sometimes you could be an angel. You could be a source of encouragement. Paul said, the Lord grant the house of Onesiphorus, or Onesiphorus, however you want to say it, grant him mercy in the day of the Lord, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, but sought me out diligently when I was in the Roman jail. Wonder what it must have been for Paul when he was there lonely, weary, beat up, abandoned. From what I understand, Onesiphorus was not a saint of God. He was a friend of the preacher. And he came shuffling down that hall. I wonder what it was like when the old aged man of God was sitting there with chains waiting for the death sentence to be executed. And he'd hear the old man shuffling down the hall. And they'd say, "Hey, Paul, you got a visitor here. Onesiphorus is here." And he'd just look through the jail and go, "Hey, preacher. How you doing, buddy?" He said, "He oft refreshed me." Scripture said the angel fed him twice. He slept. He got 2 nights sleep. Maybe that's what some of us need, is a couple of nights sleep. Things might look a little different. Seems very strange to me that when I read this, there was no angel of God that ever visited Elijah at Zarephath. There was none ever at the brook Cherith, and there was none to meet him at Carmel. Only in the valley of despair, when his strength was gone, God sent the angel. Scripture says the angel sent him on. He went on to the mountain of God. And I like this. Scripture says he came thither to a cave and lodged there, and the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" The word of God came to a fellow who was totally devastated and discouraged. Why? Why would God give a word to a man or a woman who is distressed, perplexed, and discouraged? Here's why.
because he was all so honest. He loved God. He wanted folks to love God and to do right. He wanted God to be exalted and to be honored. Scripture says he got his gripe out. He got his talk out. He never did answer the question. And I thank God that there's sometimes that God doesn't answer prayer like it's prayed. He said, "Lord, take my life from me. It is enough." But when he got in the presence of the Lord didn't take his life. The Lord gave it back to him. Verse 15, and I'm finished. "And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus." What is the answer to the dilemma that we all face when we're discouraged and we're going through the dark times of the soul? Get re-involved in the work. I don't want to preach. Preach on. I'm not inspired. Then preach out of duty. Well, I don't have any great message to preach. Well, then preach the Word of God. It's always great. But I just need something fresh. Well, have you prayed? Yeah. Have you studied? Yeah. And open the book and read something and talk. And wait till the Holy Ghost overshadows. See if God won't do something. I think there's such a beautiful picture here, for the scripture says he told him to go return. Why did he tell him to return? Look at this. Elijah, your future has an Elisha in it, and you don't know anything about it. And if you stay discouraged and you stay under the tree and you stay sucking your thumb, it could be the fella I intend to double your ministry and step into what you've started will never come. So who's in your life down the road? Who is it that God is waiting for you and I to walk into their life and to put the mantle of responsibility on? And yeah, well, you've tried other people and you've tried this and that hasn't worked. Well, maybe there's an Elisha around the corner. Who knows? Oh boy. God was saying to this fella, "Hey, your last days are going to be bigger and better than your beginning. And I'll even give you some fellowship now. You don't have to be lonely. I'll get you a young preacher to walk with you. You're not finished yet. You're not cast off yet. And oh, by the way, just so you don't worry anymore about your mail, I'm going to kill Jezebel for you. And the dog's going to eat that old character. They won't have enough to bury that old bag." Has that made your day? Is that okay, Lige? "And you said that you wanted me to kill you. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Instead of killing you, Lige, I'm just going to send my chariot for you. David said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." What is a valley? It is a path between two green pastures. Dark time, yeah. Is a valley usually dark? Yeah. But the valley's not final. He said, "Yea, though I walk through." I'm just crossing from this to his. Would you stand with me, please? You've been very nice to listen. It's 1 minute to nine. Preacher wanted to quit. He had enough. He wanted to die. God had other plans. And John looks at a great number that nobody can number, and he says, "Who are these?" He said, "These are they that overcame." Who are these people in the lake of fire? Oh, they were overwhelmed. So where are you? You'll either have to be an overcomer, you'll have to be overwhelmed. I hate sitting under the juniper tree. I've got a season's pass there. I'm there a lot of times. But I don't think I'm there because I'm unstable. I think I'm there because I'm always in school. I'm always having some more discoveries made of my spirit, my attitude, my mind, my feelings, my emotions. Somehow I'm wanting the expanse of the government of God in my life. And because I really do earnestly, honestly want that, I'm back under that tree again because I expect so much. I want this. I want it to grow. I want it to blossom. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want you to win. I want you to be happy. I want you to your marriages to be blessed. I want your children to be blessed. I want your finances to be blessed. I don't want you to have problems and troubles and struggles and be discouraged and all that. I want to come to the pulpit with fire dancing in my bones and just angel power just moving everywhere. But sometimes even after a great service, there's that old feeling of loneliness.
America Radio.